It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Studying the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We'll be reading from the 8th through the 13th verse today. So please that you would open your Bibles that you may follow along and study that precious Word with me. As you are doing that, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. So please that you would come and visit. We'd love to have you. But if you would like to write, send us a note for any reason or another why it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street, and our zip is 62341. So please, that you send me a note. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from folks that are listening to the program and searching the Word along with me. And I'd like to share with you that I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. So please, that you open your Bibles now and follow along as we study the precious Word. Philippians chapter 1, beginning to read with the 8th verse. For God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after we've read the precious Word. Father, I thank you for this chance, this opportunity to come together. Every time that we come across the radio, it's just a joy to study your precious Word. I ask that you will touch our hearts with your Word. I ask that you will bring it alive to us through the precious Holy Spirit, that we'll be led and you can guide us to everything that we need to be doing for you, the way we should be living, the way we should be talking, the way we should be walking. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us and perform a great miracle in my life, taking me from the wickedness that I started with to the place of praising, honoring, and glorifying your precious name. So please, Lord, that you would continue to grow me and each and every person that's listening. And please bring each and every one to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would know you as their Savior. Please, Lord. Now please guide us as we study this precious Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We found ourselves through the 8th verse last week, and as we continue the study, it is a joy to go verse by verse. And as we look once again, I'll just read the 8th verse, because we're going to begin with the 9th. It says, For God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. Oh, he wanted to see them. Paul being in prison, and the Church of Philippi sending the care package, and the love that they had for each other. He just wanted to be with them. It's too bad today that as the church doors open and we have an opportunity, Paul did not. He was in prison. And desired to be with them, desired to see them, desired to talk to them. It's sad to say, sad today to say that as the doors open very freely, you can come and go as you please into the house of God and the church of God, that people ignore that. They neglect such a sweet opportunity that we have to come to fellowship together with each other and to study His precious Word. Please that you do not forsake the assembling. Be in the house of God. Study the Word of God. You wonder why things aren't going your way. You wonder why you don't understand what you're supposed to be doing or where you're really at or why you're at kind of a nothing job. All that stems back to a problem, and that problem is that you're not under the precious preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So get there and listen to the precious Word. We have the continual now, and he begins in verse 9, And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. Now to look at these precious words, the desire of Paul's heart, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. And to look at the word abound, let's kind of divide a little bit and then we'll put it together. He wanted their love that it may abound. And it abound in the Greek is to cause to superabound, to in excess, and also to remain. And so if you put those words of our language together in that one word abound, this I pray that your love may abound, may, and again, superabound, to be in excess, to remain. You see, we're supposed to be, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be solid. We're supposed to remain. We're supposed to be built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And if you would like to begin that building, you must first come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that I can live, so that you can live, that all of us can live. He died on the cross of Calvary and then rose again 3 days and three nights later. That's the precious gospel. You hear someone say, do you believe the gospel? Have you heard the gospel? That's what they're asking you. Have you heard Jesus died for you? Have you heard Jesus rose for you? Have you heard that he took every sin away from you? Have you heard the gospel? Well, I'm asking you once again, as we do each and every time we come together, have you heard the gospel? And have you listened to the gospel? And don't just say, yes, I understand that, and go on, because you need to understand that you're lost in your sin. That's the reason you need a Savior, that Savior being Jesus Christ. Being lost in your sin, you must turn unto God. There's an action that takes place, and so please turn unto Jesus today and be saved. He took care of it, the perfect sacrifice, as he was nailed upon the cross of Calvary and died upon that cross. Finally, all the offerings and sacrifices that were presented were not perfect, were not good enough, but this one was, the one Jesus. When God himself came down to this earth and lived and died and rose again to buy and pay for us. We're a filthy, rotten sinner, and we needed our debt paid, and he paid it. Now, if you come by faith to him, and not only yes in your head you understand, but now it's deeper than that. It's more than that. It's not something that you can just work out psychologically. It's something, it's a heart change. You need to turn to Jesus. And if he's touched your heart, then please turn to him and call on him today and be saved. And you know, once you come to Jesus and you've laid this foundation, you're building now upon the solid rock, that rock being Jesus Christ. And as you build upon that rock, he tells us that your love may abound. That's something that he wanted to take place. He wanted to be with them, but he knew that as long as the love of Jesus Christ would grow, as long as that love would abound, and again in excess, and then remain. Because you see, everything that we place in Jesus Christ, everything as we study the precious word and come together, and people don't realize that today. They come and go to the church as they please. They don't realize that everything that they're laying up outside of Jesus Christ is going to be burnt up. It's going to be a waste of time. But everything you do in the name of Jesus Christ, and I know because God's Word teaches us that if we are seeking his will, he will bring you into the house of God. And so if you're not in church today, and you're not coming to church and faithful to the church and in service to the church, and you know what, we've been through this different times, but sometimes we need to kind of come back just a minute. You know, the church is a body of believers. It's not a social gathering. So if where you are attending today does not preach the gospel, it does not tell people how to be saved, then I ask you to get into a place that does. Get into a gospel-preaching church that preaches that you're a sinner and preaches their salvation by Jesus and Jesus alone, and you can come by faith to Jesus, come with that broken heart and turn to him, and he will save you and he will keep you. Oh, that's a glorious, wonderful message that the Word of God tells us and teaches us. And then you become a member of the church. Now that you're a member of the church, you seek out again this Bible-preaching church that's going to preach the gospel, preach against sin, stand upon the problems of this world and the seriousness of this world, and bring you to a place of peace and joy which can only be found in the arms of Jesus. And so please, that you come to Jesus today, be saved, come to Jesus today, and set your life upon him. Don't tell me that you can do just fine sitting at home listening to this radio program, sitting at home watching that television, and that's good enough, because it's not. That is not the local church. Now, you get into a local church because I want this love to abound. Now, look at that. That your love may abound. We're to the 9th verse, chapter 1 of Philippians. That your love may abound yet more and more. You want to build in the strength of Jesus Christ? You want that joy to become so deep that nothing can snatch it away? You want that peace to be so strong in your life that no matter what comes your way of a trial or tribulation that you cannot be moved? That can come. It says here that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge. So abound again is to remain, to superabound in the knowledge. To be fully acquainted. To be fully, more fully acquainted. To have a great discernment is the definition for knowledge there. To be able to know the Word of God and know the will of God. That's how. If your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, you become more solid. Your feet are planted so direct upon that rock that you cannot be moved. You're not swayed by every wind of doctrine. When a preacher preaches something that's false, immediately you come to your feet because that's not right. Now please, my friend, if you're listening to someone that is decided to take the sections of the Word of God, and some of it's inspired, some of it's not inspired. This is the inerrant, inspired Word of God, and every word in it is the truth, the Word of God. Don't let anybody take that away from you. If you have someone denying that, I just get away from them, because they're not good for you. Get into a house of God, get into the fellowship of God, where people will study the Word of God and search it. You want your troubles taken care of? You find the love of God. And the prayer of Paul to this church of Philippi is that their love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge, that you become more acquainted with Jesus. The only way you can do that is daily pour over His Word, daily study and search His Word, and then be in the house of God to fellowship with other believers, that you may enjoy that time. And also it continues in all judgment. Now, in all perception, in all, again, discernment. And so we have the thing that Paul is praying for these people, that your love may abound, that it become so solid that it remains. It's never seeming, it doesn't seem to ever be taken away from you. It's solid. That's what we can have in Jesus. Paul knows it. Paul is experiencing it and has experienced it, and he wants this church of Philippi to do the same. I want this church to do the same. I want them to come into this house of God. I want them to listen, and as they come to the house, it's because we have believers here, folks that have come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that where you go to church, it's the same way. I hope that your preacher preaches the gospel. I hope he doesn't preach a social word. I hope he preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I hope he's preaching to you that Jesus died and Jesus rose again, and you need to walk away from the daily temptations of this life and come to Jesus Christ and walk after him each day if you want to see the peace, the love, and the joy. Now, that love may abound, that it superabound, be there, yet more and more in knowledge, in to know it, just to know it, and in all judgment, in all discernment. And so when you really know something, when you're standing completely upon the Word of God, God's Word, when you are standing completely on that and not on somebody else's works, not on somebody else. I don't want you to stand on my opinion. I want you to stand upon the Word of God. The purpose of a pastor is to have you fall more in love with the Lord Jesus. And the only way that I can find in the Word of God that you're going to fall more in love with Jesus is when I can get you to be in the Word of God. So I don't care where you go to church, but I do care about your soul. I care that you know Jesus Christ, and if you do know Jesus and you've come by faith, then your preacher, your pastor should be striving not only to bring you to Jesus, but once you've come to Jesus now to grow in Jesus, that you get your head, your eyes, your nose, your ears right into the Word of God and search that Word every day. Now I know that I got folks that come to church here that don't search it every day. I know that. You know how I can know? Because I can tell by their actions. I can tell by the desire of their heart not to be in this church. You know, sometimes they don't like to hear the Word. I preach the Word. I preach the truth. If you're sincere about studying the Word of God, you will not deny one part of it. So please, that you've surrendered your heart, you've broken your heart open that Jesus can mold it and make it what He wants it to be. And to come here and to know that Paul is saying that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and being acquainted and in judgment, in discernment, being able to know the truth and stand upon it. You see why that the call of a preacher is to bring you into the Word. God, if the only thing that you carry to church is your Sunday school quarterly, shame on you. Your preacher better be preaching to you that you carry your Bible with you. You've got that in your hand, and that Bible's about wore out because you've used it day after day, and there's no place that you go if that Bible isn't by your side. And particularly, especially when you come into the house of God to study the Word of God and you don't have your Bible with you, but you're carrying some man's book with you. How about when you're in Sunday school class? What do you open up? Do you open up your Sunday school quarterly and study through that? Or if you pitch that quarterly aside and you're poring over the Word of God, be careful, because when you've got more time in that Sunday school quarter than you got in the Word of God, you got a man's opinion. You don't have the Holy Spirit guiding and leading you through the Word. So please get rid of those Sunday school books. Man has turned us liberal by the study of those books more than the study of the Word of God. Pick out a book in the Scripture. Sunday school teacher, look down through there, find a book that you want to study, and search it verse by verse with that Sunday school class. Grow in the Word of God. Preacher, preach it. Teacher, teach it. Please, that you come to Jesus Christ and walk after Him, that you can not only be acquainted with it, fully acquainted, and also with full discernment, and it's so much that it remains, it never leaves. That's the prayer that Paul has for these people, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Look what the result is in verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We're back to the day of Christ. If you look across the page in verse 6, you'll find until the day of Christ. You know, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. We're still performing this work. Day by day, he is cleansing us and changing us and making us more like Jesus for one purpose, to glorify God. But the result of glorifying God in our life and in our heart is that we'll have joy. I can tell by looking at you that you're miserable. You can tell it in your countenance. You're not full of the love of God. You're not full of the power of Jesus Christ. You're full of the world. You're full of misery. Please, that you get that pain and suffering out of your life and turn it to Jesus Christ. Say, Larry, if you lived the life that I live, you'd have pain and suffering. I know that the God that made the heavens and the earth and everything, that He can take that pain and suffering away from you. He can turn it to a peace and a joy. Now, I ask you, do you turn to Jesus and give the great physician a chance? The excellent, approve things that are excellent. Now, as we look through the Scripture here, excellent means to be of more value. And it also means to bear apart. We need to be separated. We cannot come to church on Sunday morning and live like a devil all week and expect to have the power of God. You will never have the joy of God or the peace of God. If you're denying being in the house of God, it's sin. If you denied serving God, it's sin. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you wonder, why? I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. Well, I know why you're lost. It's because if you're a Christian, you have walked away from the very tool that God has given us. That's His Word and His church. Get into both of them, and you will find that these problems and these trials and these troubles will leave you. Now, please, that you search out the will of God. Again, something that's excellent here in the 10th verse, that ye may approve things that are excellent. We have in verse 9 this is my prayer, Paul says, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. We've talked about those, that ye may approve things, set things before you that are more excellent, to bear them apart, of great value, that ye may be sincere. Now, sincere means a couple of things. It means without wax. And it also means in the Greek to be sun-tested. Now, that's kind of a strange definition for sincere, isn't it? But it means to be without wax, sun-tested. Where this comes from, that you can better understand the Word of God, and as I study the precious Word and I go back to these words many times, I'm looking it up in the Greek or the Hebrew, whichever the case might be, and I found that the picture here that Paul is trying to give these people, which is a picture that they understand very clearly. He wants that love to abound more and more in the knowledge and judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that are set apart of great value, that ye may be sincere. Now, as at this time they would make porcelain, and as they would fire this porcelain, it would to be a very fine porcelain. It was very difficult to fire it without cracking it. There would be hairline cracks through this beautiful fine porcelain. Well, there was a couple choices. You could throw it away, or if you were a dishonest dealer of this porcelain, you would take it, purchase it for a very small amount, and then you would take a wax and very carefully you would fill these cracks. And it would be such a fine crack, and it would be such a small amount of wax that would fill that crack, that to look at it as it was sitting in the store or sitting up on your table, you would never see it. But if you would put it up to the sun, these small cracks with this wax filled in it would be a small dark hairline showing that it was not fired correctly. Very difficult to fire. But if you were purchasing something that was perfect, and that's what you thought you bought, but a dishonest dealer could put this wax in there, and it could fill that crack, but until you would put it up to the light, would you see that it was not perfect? That someone had been dishonest to you, someone had cheated you, because they had sold you a porcelain vessel that was cracked. Now that word sincere there means without wax. Sun-tested, sincere, perfect. That ye may approve things that are excellent, again, of great value, set apart, to be set apart, that ye may be sincere, that you may be without wax, that you may be sun-tested, that as you're put up into the light, there's not a flaw that is shown, not a crack that is evident, not a hairline there, not a little dark line because someone has tried to cover a mistake, cover a problem. There's none of that. It's perfect. When it's held to the light, that's when you're shown, that's when we see with evidence where we stand. When we're in Jesus, we can be held up to the light. And we need to allow, and this is the prayer that Paul has to the church of Philippi, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, perfect. You see what comes if we'll stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we'll look back to the sixth verse, being confident of the very thing, that he who hath begun a good work, how did he start a new work? He started a new work by coming to you, drawing you, and then upon drawing you to the cross of Calvary, you surrendered. It's an action, it's an act. Don't put it upon baptism. Don't put it upon taking the Lord's Supper or communion. Don't take it upon how many times and how many certificates of perfect attendance you've had at your church. It comes down to one thing, and that is you and your relationship with Jesus, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, it is taken care of because you come by faith to Jesus. Now, please, that you call upon the Lord Jesus. Please be saved. It's an act. It's not something that just comes because you've had so much exposure to it. Today, you can say it with your mouth because you've heard it. But until your heart's changed, till your heart's been convicted, please that you bring people to Jesus Christ, that they can have this, the love, the knowledge, the judgment, that they may be excellent, that they can look at things of great value and be so sincere, be perfect, without offense, to be blameless, not sinless. You see, we still have the old body, but it's the motive. It's what drives you. You see, it's not that I'm perfect by a long shot, but what drives me? I'm driven by the presence of God and precious Holy Spirit in my heart. It drives me to the Word of God. It drives me to the house of God. It drives me to teach the Word of God. It drives me to preach the Word of God. It drives me to be more like Jesus that I may glorify His precious name. What's your motive? What drives you? It says without offense. Without offense, to me, it means blameless. If you go over to chapter 2 and verse 15 of Philippians, Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless children of God, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We can shine because He has made us perfect. What's our motive? What drives you? Is it the love of God? Is it as Paul's prayer to the church of Philippi, that love may abound, superabound, yet more and more in the knowledge, in the knowing, the acquaintance, the discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. See how this life carries on, the walk carries on as you know Jesus? You see why I beg you to be in the house of God? Please don't use any excuse to miss being in the house of God and studying the Word of God. You know, that's the reason we have Sunday school. That's the reason we have the message. You know, we start that Sunday school class at 9:30 in the morning, and we proclaim the Word of God. We start church at 10:35, and we preach the Word of God. We sing praises unto the Lord, and we come back at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Then the week continues, as times that we have in studying the precious Word of God. And then we have the times alone, and we have this precious time on the radio that we have together. Oh, that you look, again, blameless. That doesn't mean it's sinless. Without offense till the day of Christ. I believe most people today don't think He's coming back. And if He's not going to come to get us, then why worry and why hurry? I think the days are very short, and I think you better wake up. I think you're asleep. And I believe you better recognize the days are short. And we're accountable for every day that Jesus has given us. Now please that you will search out the will of God and the way of God. I ask that you pore over these words. And as you look at these words, you'll realize that you desire to be sincere, desire to be perfect, desire to be without offense until the day of Christ, till He comes to get me. And I'm awaiting that day, and I'm excited about that day. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?